take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Lisa, that is a 32-point swing. I'm not sure I've seen such a comeback, but Bucks down 20 to start this fourth quarter, up by seven.
An amazing thing there, highlight courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network. Lisa Byington and Steve Novak on the call of that one. Down 20 at the start of the fourth quarter. Bucks come rallying back to, I would say, shock the Minnesota Timberwolves, who had all kinds of problems there in the fourth quarter, scoring the basketball. Bucks win 110-103. Kevin Porter Jr. leads the way with 21 points and 4 rebounds. Giannis with another triple-double. 18-10 off the bench for Bobby Portis. Joining us now to talk more about that one is Frank Madden on the Locked On Bucks podcast. Follow him on Twitter at FMaddenNBA. As he joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan with me, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Frank, what was your initial thoughts and reactions as you were watching this one play out last night?
Well, you know, it's like I've been following this team for 30-plus years. Obviously, Sparky, you've been in that boat with me as well. But it's been funny the last couple of weeks. You know, it's like kind of facing the possibility that, you know, with the Dame injury, all this stuff is like, you know, is the Bucks window still open? And I was kind of like, am I going to lose interest in the rest of the season? But I'm still the same way. You know, I every game I turn it on and I have hope that they're going to win and it's going to be fun. And no matter who's playing, I'm curious to see how the guys do. And you know, did I tune out when they were down 24? No, because I kind of wanted to see, like, all right, well, maybe KPJ does something, maybe Ryan Rollins does something. And, you know, I think, again, it's 82 games. Is the season too long? Maybe, you know, what is the playoff hold for the Bucks? Who knows? But it was a heck of a fun game. And, you know, what does it mean in the grand scheme of the universe? I don't know. But it was just a super fun time. The crowd seemed great. And obviously, I think, you know, there were some signs of life from a team that, you know, obviously a lot of people have been ready to bury here for the last few weeks.
Kevin Porter Jr., you're really young. What is he? Who can he be? Because you see flashes of potential greatness, even though sometimes he plays a little recklessly and, you know, gets a steal and turns it over quickly and has to steal the ball back in order to get the ball back to go back the other way. But you could see visions of kind of that he could be something really good.
It's funny. So, you know, a couple of years ago, pre-Dame trade, you know, there was a lot of discussion around who do you pair with Drew Holiday, especially given Drew's age at the time, right? Like, what is the best version of the Bucks look like? And there was a lot of talk about, like, Colin Sexton, right? As, like, maybe he's the guy the Bucks should try to trade for to complement, you know, Drew and Chris and Giannis and Brooke and the rest of these guys. I spent a lot of time at the time looking at KPJ. This is when he was still in the Rockets before that really ugly incident in New York where he ends up getting, you know, cut and, you know, it's legal trouble, all that. But even at the time, he was a guy that was considered a head case. But you looked at what he was in Houston, the numbers he put up in Houston, you know, I mean, he led the league in catch and shoot percentage 1 year at 48%. He shot 43% the next year. He put up big numbers. You know, we saw that he scored 50 against Drew and the Bucks that one game. The talent is undeniable. And I don't know, it's exciting, but it's frustrating what you see even here in Milwaukee, because what did he have, three straight games or something of 20 plus points? I mean, the talent is undeniable. The decision making and I'd say, you know, kind of basketball IQ can also be maddening, because sometimes obviously it's just not there. And again, like, I think the question going into the offseason, people have asked me, is like, what can you offer him? What should you offer him? I think both him and Rollins, I mean, I don't think any team's going to look at him and say, like, that's my starting point guard, or that's going to be my starting guard next year. I don't think anybody's going to throw big money at him, especially given his history. I think same true for Rollins, just given he's more like role player type ceiling. But I think he's a guy that, again, if you can get comfortable with his history, the on-court stuff, the off-court stuff, the locker room problems, all that, if you think he's actually turned the page, I think he's a guy that, man, it would be hard not to want to put some money down, try to keep him in Milwaukee. And, you know, especially in these situations where Dame is out, like, you need talent, you need something to give you that shot of life. And especially on the offensive end, but we saw it on both ends last night. So I don't know. I don't know what he's going to become, to be honest. You know, is he going to be a long-term starter in Milwaukee or someplace else? I think he still has a lot to prove that he's got the kind of head for that. But I think he's a guy that, you know, man, after what you've seen here these last few weeks, you probably need to figure out, like, how do you keep him in the fold, especially given Giannis's age and the fact that obviously huge question marks about Dame and the rest of the roster. So yeah, I mean, that's been the silver lining here, right? These last few weeks or so is, aside from Giannis, seeing Rollins, seeing KPJ, AJ Green, you know, even to an extent, Jericho Sims before he got hurt, like, there is actually some real role player talent, young guys who can play, and, you know, exactly what that means for what you could be next year or even this year, still a bit TBD for me. I am very curious to see what Porter can be in the playoffs, because I honestly have a hard time betting that he's going to be a really good playoff player, but, you know, could he be a guy that steals you a game or two? Like, I could definitely see that.
Talking with Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks podcast here, Iowa Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. I'm going to tell you what annoys me a little bit here. This whole Ryan Rollins thing, people putting him into a box. He's 22. He's 22. He ain't 32 and has been struggling to make it in this league. He's been some type of, you know, journeyman or whatever. I mean, the kid is super young. And then Porter Jr., he's 24. He'll be 25 next month. But same type of deal. Like, I don't understand why everybody wants to poo-poo Rollins and act like he can't play in this league long term when he's only 22 years old.
I mean, the good news is I think the Bucks are in a good spot with both guys. You know, Rollins, he's a restricted free agent. You have early bird rights, so you don't need to use your mid-level to sign him. You know, other teams can't just kind of swoop in and take him. You know, KPJ is an unrestricted free agent, so there's more challenges to bring him back just from a CBA standpoint. I think with Rollins, I mean, I like where the Bucks are at with him, because I don't think, again, like, is a team going to say, like, here, take, you know, our $14 million mid-level exception to be, you know, a starting point guard or a third guard? I don't think, you know, at this point, he's shown enough for another team to come in and try to do that, especially given he's a restricted free agent. So I think the Bucks have a great chance to get him on, you know, I don't know, $4 to $6 million a year or something like that. Get him for at least 2, maybe 3 years. And then I think it becomes, again, a little bit of a lottery ticket, right? I think he could certainly become a guy that, you know, again, is he going to be a true lead guard? I don't think he's a pure point guard in that way, but could he be a guy that, you know, becomes a really good two-way player that we've already seen strong evidence of that? He can shoot threes to a decent extent as well. And, you know, again, if you have talented guys like Giannis and Dame around him, you don't need him to be kind of a guy that's creating tons of offense. So I think Rollins in particular, his profile, you know, who wouldn't want a strong guard with good length who plays both ways, can knock down threes, can get to the rim with pretty good regularity, especially going to his left. I think the Bucks have a great chance to get him on a good contract and kind of keep him in the fold. And then at that point, yeah, again, I don't think he's going to be a 20-point-per-game scorer or, you know, a guy that's going to be, you know, probably a top 15 point guard or something, but a versatile guard who can play both ways, start potentially, especially if you have shot created around him, I think that's a really valuable player, and I think he could be a bargain for sure.
What do you think about this Bucks team with what they currently have? Now that Bobby Portis is back, and clearly it appears he was a heartbeat of this team to begin with based on what happened night one and how he kind of rallied the troops in a timeout. What now for this team kind of going forward? I watched that game last night, and I just kept saying to myself, man, there is still a big short. Like, they still need one more big. They're just one short. Now, again, Minnesota is longer, obviously, with Gobert and Naz Reid and stuff, so not every team's going to be as long as them. But that was kind of my feeling watching this thing play out last night for the Bucks. Even without Dame, I never really thought about, boy, they're going to lack scoring here in the playoffs. My big thing was I worry about, you know, rebounding the basketball in the playoffs and defending bigs in the playoffs.
I'm not worried about the size at all, to be honest. I mean, with Bobby back, I think Sims, theoretically, I think could be back for the playoffs, right? Wasn't it like a month-long injury?
That's what they said.
When he got knocked out.
Yep.
So I'm not really worried about the size at all. I think look, I've always been, and I will continue to be, I think, a Brook Lopez supporter. I think the big thing with Brook is, like, you just can't put him out there for like 38 points in the game, you know. I think finding the balance of Brook, Bobby, Giannis, you know, even Kuzma, smaller lineups, are there ways that you can use him? I think obviously he's been had a tough go of it in some respects.
Horrible.
Other respects, I think
he's been horrible.
No, I don't think
he's had a good game. He's had what, one good game in like 2 weeks?
I mean, he's had multiple like 50% plus shooting games here. I think the reality with Kuzma is this. They've actually been pretty good when Giannis and Kuzma are out there together. I don't think the starting lineup like necessarily makes a whole lot of sense, but like, they're like plus six net rating. I mean, it's not like that's been getting... Problem is, when Kuz is out there by himself, you just can't give him the ball. Like, you can't give him the ball except when to go create offense. Like, he's just way too erratic. He's got to be like, you know, the third, fourth guy from an offensive standpoint. But I think defensively, he's been like... I've been very pleasantly surprised by his versatility on defense. And, you know, again, like, has he been a Chris Middleton replacement? Absolutely not, right? He's not a third guy. That's the problem. And so do I have high confidence in him being a winning playoff basketball player? I do not have high confidence in that. I definitely have questions. I think he's too erratic, but I think he also is a guy that can give you games where he does make a positive impact. But I get it. Like, the Kuz experience has been at best a roller coaster. But I think the good news is you've got other guys obviously stepping up and taking some of the pressure off. So, I mean, he's not even finishing games at times. But I'm not that worried about the size. I guess the real, I mean, Sparky, do you think Damian Lillard is playing in the playoffs? I mean, to me, there's like two versions of this question. I still am like you. It sounds like I just sort of am like, if he plays, I'm going to be very surprised, pleasantly surprised. I think you have to assume they're probably playing without Dame in the playoffs. And if they do that, you know, do they have a chance at beating the Pacers? Sure. But, you know, am I going to pick them to beat the Pacers without Dame and against a full strength Pacers team that's been playing really well? Like, I've got to see that to believe it. I don't know. I don't want to be a doubter, but like, I just haven't seen enough consistency from them this season.
That's kind of like telling me that Giannis is going to stay healthy for a playoff series. I got to kind of see that to believe that too, because that hasn't been something that's been happening in the last 5 to 6 years either.
I mean, unfortunately, right? It's the woulda, coulda, shoulda of the last, you know, ever since the championship, right?
22, yeah, including the championship. He was hurt in the championship.
That's very true. That's very fair. Very fair. Yep.
The only year he hasn't been hurt in that run is the year after when they lost to the Celtics and Middleton was hurt. But outside of that, he's been hurt every other year. I mean, so again, it's like, okay, well, you're not going to have Dame. Fine. So now you're going to go in. Can he stay healthy for a whole series against the Pacers? And if they upset the Pacers, will he still be healthy to play the next series? To me, that's what this is all about. Like, can he get through a series and be healthy? And then let's see what happens if that does happen. I think the other part about this, if they, well, it looks like they're going to get the Pacers, they can clinch tomorrow, but with the Pacers, they just have to shoot the three ball well. Like, Gary Trent and AJ Green and these guys have got to shoot the ball well, because if they don't shoot the three well, I don't know if they can beat Indiana.
Yeah, but I mean, that is, they're the best three-point shooting team percentage-wise in the league, right? So, I mean, the good news is that's the one thing that they have done pretty much all year. The offense has been you know, weirdly less than the sum of its parts, even with the great shooting and even with Giannis and Dame putting up good numbers, right? They just lose the game on the margins, right? They get no offensive rebounds. They usually turn the ball over more than their opponents, right? We always talk about the number of shots that the opponent takes. They always take more shots than the Bucks and things like that. So I do have some, definitely, especially without Dame, have worries about the offensive consistency. Obviously, three-point shooting comes into that. I do agree, though. I think what you're guiding at is really that the pressure, they have a lot of pressure to shoot the ball well because they don't do those other things that give you those second chances and kind of improve your margin of error. So, agree, they have to shoot the three ball well. Indiana didn't shoot the three ball well against them last year, and it didn't matter. Like, they're a weird team in that they play super fast. They score tons of points, but they really don't shoot the ball three ball that well. So I think they need that to continue to an extent, because I think that's something we've seen in a few of the Pacer games this year. Pacers can pretty much take two dribbles, blast the Bucks defense, and get an open look whenever they want. And I think the thing that, again, so much of what it comes down to between these two teams is the Bucks have to figure out how to slow them down, play the game in more of a half court style. If they do that, I think they can certainly survive. But, you know, we've also seen this Bucks team just get blitzed in transition too many times, or, you know, they stop rebounding on the defensive glass too many times. And then, you know, again, the math game works against them. Too many shots for the opponent, too many easy looks for the opponent. So, and that's honestly the most frustrating part for me without Dame has been just the defensive inconsistency. It's like, yeah, you didn't have Bobby Portis or Dame. We're the two guys we always pick on as the worst defenders on the team. Dame and Bobby Portis. And then you still don't go out and execute. You still, you know, I mean, Kuzma even said it. Like, he said they were BSing in I forget which game that was. But it's just like, man, guys, like, I don't have a ton of confidence in the Doc Rivers coaching staff to begin with. But if you guys aren't going to lock in defensively when you've got a bunch of guys who are actually pretty good defenders all playing, like, when is it going to happen?
Dude, so, at the end of that third quarter last night, they hit like four wide open threes. DiVincenzo, yeah. They were treating him like he was Shaq shooting a three. They were so far away from him.
Well, he hit that one that was like a crazy corner, like practically behind the back.
Yes, that one he did. But the other, there was like three or four threes in a row for the T-Wolves, and they were pretty much wide open outside of one.
Yeah. And I mean, I think what we saw, though, was in the playoffs, you have to have different pitches, right? Last night, the different pitch was the zone.
Yeah,
right?
Killed
and
Minnesota.
Porter and Trent, you know, they were so disruptive, and Minnesota couldn't use any of that size because they couldn't get the ball inside the three-point arc, basically, right? It was all like just getting disrupted on the perimeter. So, I mean, and that's where I think having the option of playing different size lineups is important. I don't think the Bucks can survive playing very small, but I think they have now, with Bobby back and Hack Sims coming back, they have some different guys who can play different ways from a size perspective,
yep,
which is important from the rebounding perspective.
I totally agree with you. Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks. Follow him on Twitter at FMaddenNBA. Frank, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Marty. Take care.
There he is, Frank Madden. Again, Locked On Bucks podcast. Check it out. It has been Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from the 1250 AM on 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Thanks for listening today. Missed Paul Breitel earlier this hour. Go back, listen to that. Lots of Bucks and Brewers talk earlier in the show in the first couple of hours. You can check that out as well on your Odyssey app or simply by going to thefanmilwaukee.com. Don't forget, 6:30 tonight, the leadoff show, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook with Tommy Wirtz, getting ready for First Pitch, Game 2, Brewers and the Rockies. Have a good night, everyone. Toodles!